Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I'm Bo Oliver, joined today by Aaron and Marissa, and we're back with another Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5 spoiler discussion. Before we get into the episode, I want to let you guys know that you can follow us on iTunes at the Nerd Soup Podcast and Spotify. You can listen to us there and SoundCloud as well. Follow us on Twitter at NerdSoup4U and send us your questions at gmail.com, NerdSoup4U. We might answer some of those questions. We've been getting a lot of them because we don't talk enough about Game of Thrones on this channel. So we want to get you guys involved. So yeah, I mean, like I always say, me and Aaron did our review. We posted that a couple days ago. So now we have Marissa here and we're going to get her thoughts on the episode. You've been very high on the season. So episode 5, The Bells. Great title. What did you think?
I hated it. This is the first episode, I think, well, the entire time I've been watching Game of Thrones. And I started watching the show right after season 6 ended. So I basically binged seasons 1 through 6. And 7 was the first one that I watched live. This episode was the first time I've ever been watching an episode and thought, I hate this, while I was watching it.
I have to agree with that because I did the same thing. It was the first time I watched an episode where I verbally said out loud to the people I was watching with, I don't like this. It's like, the first time that Game of Thrones has ever taken me out of the episode. What were your problems? What were your biggest problems with the episode?
My biggest problem is that the episode felt hollow. I can tell where they wanted the emotional impact or the punch, and I didn't get it. It was beautiful. A lot of scenes looked really cool. When Dany is looking over the city and you hear the bells and people saying, like, ring the bells, ring the bells, surrender. And you see, like, her facial expressions. I thought that was great. But I also didn't believe that she would just go and burn the whole city after that. It was, like, such a disconnect there. I also, Arya's scenes, when everything is, like, going crazy and she's running through the city, I enjoyed those. But I was also thinking, what is Arya doing here?
Well, she's here to kill the queen.
And she immediately gave that up. It was, like, at the end of the last episode, she was leaving. And she's like, I'm going to go kill Cersei. And the Hound's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, the Hound's like, actually, don't do that.
Yeah.
you should
know
go home now.
Now that we're here, turn around and go back.
They're literally in the castle.
Well, I don't think they expect fucking hellfire to be raining from the sky. Yeah, it's so weird, like, just trying to grasp this episode.
Because you hate it, but you don't want to admit it?
No, because I hate certain aspects of it, but I love everything else. Like, you were talking about Arya and Jon running in the street, just, like, while it was going on, but then I remembered why it was happening, and I was kind of got sad again.
Yeah.
It's weird, because a lot of people have made this, like, comparison, just seeing how divisive this season has been. But, like, I remember when I first saw The Last Jedi, I was disappointed. But after I thought about it for a day and watched it again, I still didn't love it, but I kind of, like, expecting, knowing what was going to happen and expecting that going in a second time, I kind of liked it a little bit more. So I figured after this episode, I'm like, all right, let me think about it for a day. I'll sleep on it, see what everyone else is saying, get different perspectives, watch it again, and maybe I'll have a clearer thought in my head. That didn't happen. I feel the exact same way, but much worse now. It's like I still am so confused because I love so much of the episode, but don't like a lot of it too. It's I liked the concept of Mad Queen Daenerys. Love it.
Same.
But in that moment when the bells are ringing and they won, and then she still decided to do it, it doesn't line up for me.
Yeah, I watched that and I was like, this doesn't make sense. She wouldn't do this.
I think two things you can point to. I think if it, like we said on our review, if they were losing and she did that, you can understand that. Her seeing all she worked for and wanted to obtain disappear in front of her, causing her to destroy King's Landing, that makes more sense. If this was a 10-episode season and Missandei dies last episode, and you have 3 episodes to watch her dissolve into this madness where she's so paranoid, kills Varys, now she doesn't trust Jon and Tyrion, and it's just all coming down on her, and that's played out over a longer stretch, and then that happened, I think it works a lot better too. Because we just see her, Tyrion goes up, we obviously see the effects, and you can kind of see it coming, but it happened right then and there.
When I was watching that scene of her really taking everything in, I could tell they wanted me to see the snap. I could understand, like, at some level, she's won, but it's like a hollow victory. She doesn't feel like she's really won anything. And mm-hmm. So now she just kind of, like, goes crazy. I saw that that's what they were doing and that's what they wanted me to believe. And I didn't believe it.
No, I don't. Yeah, I didn't believe it either.
I think if she had gone for the Red Keep, just went for Cersei, it would have been 10 times better than it was.
That's who you want to get.
She didn't even get
the person who just killed your best friend.
Yeah.
And she just completely disregarded her for slaughtering innocents.
Like,
and you have to, when you compare it to other characters in the show, she's not the only person who has lost people. I guess Arya is a character who's not as impulsive, but Arya's been known to kill a fool or two. When Arya came back to Westeros, she had one goal in mind. Kill the Freys, kill the Lannisters. That's it. It wasn't about killing innocent people. She has that scene where she sits down with the Lannister soldiers and she realizes, oh, these are just decent men who have been thrown into this war against their will. They
and
have
Ed
no
Sheeran.
Choice but to fight. And Ed Sheeran, she didn't kill Ed Sheeran. She should have, but she didn't. She's lost her mother, her brother, the scene with the Hound and Brienne where he's breaking down everything that this character has lost. People have lost things in the show, but they don't take it out on innocence. You can make the case that there are characters who have lost more than Daenerys. And that's why that moment makes no sense, because you have the person sitting there in a red dress. She's literally a red shirt. She's a giant target in a giant tower. I just beheaded your best friend. I'm the one who provoked you. No, I'm going to start at the back of the line and murder everybody else, and then maybe I'll get to you. It was just too abrupt.
But I guess, too, like when we hear Varys flip a coin, right? Maybe she's just crazy. And those are what that was enough
to set
her
off. So the coin was flipped
off.
Very late. It's been in the air. For what,
really
20,
long hang
21
time.
Years?
She obviously needed a catalyst. But yeah, I agree with you. But I'm just saying, like, maybe we're just trying to rationalize something that isn't rational when you get into her mind
I think,
as a
Targaryen.
Though, I don't know. I'm just.
But
there
you
could have been a
different...
better way to illustrate how, yes. like, on knife's edge she was. Say, like, the coin is just, like, chilling in the middle, not on either side. I think there could
Inception.
Have been a. yeah. It could have. There could have been a better way to show her visibly, like, teetering in either direction.
Well, I've seen.
Yeah, because when she teeters, it's like, oh, should I kill this person who had slaves?
Well, I've,
I don't
also,
know.
Like, the show I've... itself has. The audience and the show has praised her for the stuff that she's done. It hasn't been like the narrative is rejecting her for the choices she's made. Not really. Every time she's, like, taken people out or burned people alive, we've been like, yeah, go Daenerys. And then now it's everyone around her going, she's crazy. But I think I said this last week, she's doing most of the same stuff. And then she decides to burn King's Landing, which is not what she's done before.
Well, here's the meme I've seen going around. It's like the Pikachu surprise. Like, we should have saw this coming. And it goes season 1 through season 8 of things she's done.
Okay, so tell us each thing that she did
to make this reasonable.
Right. It's the foreshadowing.
Burns Miri Mazdur.
The woman who killed her child and husband.
Yes. One person.
Justifiable.
Yes. Burns the House of the Undying.
The House of the Undying? Oh, the warlocks who kidnapped her dragon, those freaks with the purple lips?
And put her in chains.
Who wanted to
yeah.
keep her there for thousands of years?
Yes, she did that.
Right.
Burns Astapor.
Oh, Astapor, another slave city. Wow, the home of the Unsullied, right?
Yep.
The people that would rip off the cocks and balls of children and force them to become soldiers. Psychopath.
Crucifies the Masters of Meereen.
Ah, slave owners. Well, you know, some of them were against the slavery.
And that's the only thing that she's done that's sort of been in contention.
How many miles
not
did
morally.
She walk and see children
yes.
being cruel?
No, yeah.
You can. She just did something that
and
was
that
worse
was,
than that.
It wasn't even like morally what she did was wrong. It was like politically they were like, maybe don't do this.
Yeah, it's like you need the rich to rule,
yeah.
so don't kill all of them.
Burns the Marinese nobleman. I guess that's when in the...
That might be the worst thing that she's ever done.
With Lorak, right? When they're just
yeah.
like... Here, he just throws one in there, and it's like, oh, no one's going to tell me what I need to hear, even though this guy might not even know. He's just some random dude. Okay.
But that was like a strong arm, like, you know, I'm sure FDR.
FDR burned a few people
yeah,
alive
I mean,
in his
gotta.
Day.
Burns Vase Dothrak.
Once again, a bunch of rapists
yeah.
who run around Essos pillaging, killing people. They wanted to kill her.
Yeah.
So it's always when she's being attacked or she's killing people that are terrible.
This is my favorite. Burns the wagon train. You know, when you're...
Well,
like,
I mean, it was a nice wagon.
It's war.
But
you
also,
know?
That was like the
it's
only
like a
good
battle.
Episode of season
the surprise
seven.
Attack. That happens all the time in war.
But what they should be pointing to is the scene on the beach on Dragonstone.
Yeah.
When she says that she's just going to fly to the Red Keep and burn it to the ground, and Jon convinces her not to. That's mm-hmm. the moment where, yeah, a lot of her advisors have been
even then,
checking
she says
her
she's
going
to go to the Red Keep and burn it to the ground, not literally turn King's Landing into a barbecue.
She fried up everybody. No, the foreshadowing, I've always said it because I never thought it was actually going to happen in the book or show. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was a nice callback to her father. And if you know about Aerys, that was a gradual descent into madness. For much less, actually. But it's more convincing because it was years in the making until he finally lost it. It was his kidnapping. It was his relationship with Tywin deteriorating. It was all these different things. But Daenerys has been in the game for years now, and she's known as a conqueror.
She's made threats.
Well, they point to the when she's in the Garden of Bones, right? When she's outside of Quarth. This is a 16-year-old starving child who's like 10 electrolytes away from death. Get her a Gatorade. She'd be fine. She's like, when my dragons are big, we're going to come beat you guys up. She's like a little girl yelling at these men who are mocking her. Mm-hmm. And then one gives her a chance. Zorro Zondaxo, shout out. Mahershala Ali tried out for that role. Didn't get it. And her dragons are like cats in that scene. So
well, it's like, yeah, even when she locked him into that vault.
That was gangster.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, he deserved that.
And also, he tried to murder her.
And I think I just wish it, like, I don't hate the concept, but more, they should have had more gray area within her arc where, like you said, they frame it as victories. And she does get pushback from her advisors, but they're never like, they do push back, but it's like you said, it's more for political gain or like what you should do.
Her advisors are never really like, what you're doing is morally wrong. They're like, this would put you at a political disadvantage.
Well, not until later when the Tyrion stuff, and she does like threaten to.
You saw that tweet about Tyrion saying, "But Your Grace, what about the Geneva Convention?"
I love Lindsay Ellis.
She's great.
But I think there's a difference between foreshadowing and then actually creating the tension necessary.
Yeah,
but I never got the
to make this like I'm 100% into Mad Queen Daenerys. Like I like that. When it happened, I didn't believe it. I think Lindsay Ellis actually might have tweeted something about this. I think for the Mad Queen.
Shout out Lindsay Ellis, at Lindsay Ellis.
I think for us to have fully bought into Mad Queen Daenerys, we should have been more wary when she was coming to Westeros. I think if we had been kind of uncertain about what she was going to do and we didn't like support her coming and taking the throne.
Because we just saw Cersei massacre a church.
Yeah, well,
we
which
were
also,
cheering for Daenerys.
There's been no like visible fallout of her blowing up the Sept.
No,
when Cersei blew it up, though, I'm like, hell yeah. But that was like more that for her character, like that's what she needed to do to get out of that situation.
Yeah,
the main thing is they were ringing the fucking bells. We surrender. You win. All right, that.
I don't know. All the memes have been great, man. The one about her with the AirPods in. Yeah. Daenerys can't hear the bells.
And everything surrounding it, too. I love the lead up. I love the beginning. I love the battle. I love how she learned finally how to fight with her dragon. We saw the full might of what having this advantage in Westeros means. How Aegon the Conqueror was able to rule the Seven Kingdoms with three dragons and a small army. And, I mean, the other two dragons that died were, there were surprises. She wasn't expecting the Night King to be able to do what he did to Viserion, and she, what we understand, is she didn't know Euron would be there. So it was...
love that meme. That meme has been amazing.
So this is like the only... This
and
is the time where she knew...
forget about the Iron Fleet, Your Grace.
Well, she had a plan, and like she knew what she wanted to do, and you saw just that advantage that she can have.
Maybe she's not crazy. Maybe she just has ADHD. She's just not paying attention to anything anybody says. And she's saying, oh, when the bells ring, burn the city? Got it.
So I loved all of that. I loved when she opens the gate. What a beautiful
shot. But
what
do you say to people that the foreshadowing, the buildup just worked for them? Because some people are convinced of the turn.
When we did the Revisited, we stopped at all those scenes. And we're like, this could be a little hint for Mad Queen, possibly. And we'd be like, I don't know, because she never really... Everything she did was out of, I guess, kindness, wanting to help people, wanting to, you know, the everyday regular person that gets abused by the rich and powerful, she was kind of fighting for them. And you're like, oh.
That's the thing. It's like these people didn't do anything to you. And she keeps talking about, oh, they love you. Do they love John in the South? They don't even know who these people are for the most part.
But we don't even really know
None
how
of us
they
can
feel
read.
About Cersei.
Right. It's like exactly, yeah.
Probably not too hot on her.
I mean, yeah, probably.
You said we never saw the fallout for what she did to the Sept of Baelor. They just kind of all accepted her as the queen.
Like, war has been going on pretty consistently in Westeros. Westeros has to be ravaged at this point. If Daenerys were to win, what does she have to work with? And, like, we don't know.
No, we don't know. Yeah, they haven't really focused on that at all.
So, like I was saying, like we pointed to these moments and we said, but we never thought like she was pure evil, and that's what that was fucking evil. It's like Davos, you guys actually the Burns Walls, your god is evil. Like that's like she was burning like just innocent people, and that was never her character.
It also like strategically didn't make sense.
But that's why like it had to. I could have
because it was over.
But seeing all those moments from the past, the seasons, if it played out, like we said, where it takes her multiple episodes after Missandei to dissolve, like, and just completely break down, not just one scene with Tyrion, or if it was they were losing and she had to do that, you can point to those, like, saying she's made some questionable decisions depending on how you want to view the situation, like, on impulse. And that would make more sense. But this was ding, 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 ding. Remember what I told you to do? Bells ringing. We won. And this was like, I'm still going to do it. It could have, if it was just done better, I think this, I would have had a whole different perspective on this episode. I would have been, instead of being mixed on it, I would have thought this episode was fantastic. Except for maybe a couple other parts, Euron related. And
Euron.
Cersei. But Cersei is more of a season of a whole thing, but we'll get to that.
I hate to be overdramatic, but this, I wonder, so I tend to be overdramatic. I wonder how it's going to be for me going back and watching the show, because when I was doing this review, we cut together a clip from episode 3 of season 1, and it's where Daenerys is learning Dothraki, and she looks so innocent, she's trying to pronounce these words, and I'm like, I know what you do. I know what you become. I don't know if I could watch that anymore, because I've never been a fan of the Mad Queen conceptually, but if you were going to do it, it needed to be a heartbreaking moment, like Anakin turning to Darth Vader. It should have been like that, where...
They didn't even do that well.
No, they didn't do that well. It should have been a moment where, wow, this is heartbreaking that this has happened to this character, and I believe it, because everything that... The weight of the world just collapsed on top of her, and she just couldn't handle it anymore. I'm convinced that she would go crazy. Mm-hmm. That would have been heartbreaking for me, but I didn't feel that. You said, it was hollow.
As soon as she started burning down King's Landing, we never saw her face or her expression. We just saw the dragon overhead.
They did a little 2014 Godzilla there, where it was just the people on the ground. It was their perspective and Cersei's. Did you want to see?
Yeah, I wanted to see what she was like, just what her face looked like. Like, maybe, I don't know. Like
crying, maybe?
They went to lengths to dehumanize her in that moment because she went crazy. And then suddenly flipped to making Cersei more human in her last moments.
I did love, one of the things that I loved about this episode was just the look on Cersei's face when she's like, I can't believe this is happening. She was stunned.
Called my bluff, huh?
Right, she was like, well, this escalated quickly.
I can't
quickly.
Believe that Cersei didn't have like any other plan. She was like, we just have to get the dragon with the scorpion. We just have to do it.
So that's like one of the things too where I'm just so conflicted, because I love, like I said before, how he saw Drogon at his full might, absolutely strategically destroy the Iron Fleet, destroy the Scorpions, open the gate. Like, that's awesome.
It was awesome.
But at the same time, I'm like, there's no, they're just bullying Cersei and the Lannister army. And
just beating a dead horse.
I wanted her to have some tricks up her sleeves. I wanted her to be, I said, like, you wanted her to go, Daenerys to go to the Red Keep. Mm-hmm. I wanted maybe Cersei to have it surrounded with wildfire. And it's kind of like, everyone's too scared to make the first move, because if you come with a dragon, I set this off, everyone dies. And vice versa, if she sets it off, I'll burn you with the dragon. It's kind of like the standoff where the tensions are rising and anything can happen. And it was more smaller, compact, and it played more to character moments rather than this absolute disaster. But at the same time, I loved the disaster in the streets. I loved to see like everyone's perspective, and it was heartbreaking to see what Daenerys was actually capable of and what she was doing, but still the reasoning for it does not work for me, and that kind of muddles my thoughts when it comes to this episode.
This could have been a masterpiece if they just made
technically it was probably the
yeah, but I'm just talking about the way that it makes you feel, seeing
yes
from the ground perspective how disturbing it was to watch these people run for their lives.
Oh yeah, I felt bad after this episode, me personally.
Yeah, I felt bad for myself. Like, I should have been feeling bad for the characters.
It's not like bad, like after you watch an episode and you feel bad for what's happened to everyone. It's like, this just made me feel bad.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly how I felt. I said it out loud. I was like, I'm disturbed by what I'm watching because I'm not emotionally invested in it. I'm disturbed for myself. I'm disturbed that I'm not disturbed by this. And
also, like, I can't... Cersei never once... thought that
maybe she's
the
just
dragon,
an idiot.
I mean, maybe, but like,
I mean, she's made idiotic decisions before.
Dragons can fly, and she never thought maybe this dragon will get to the Red Keep.
It's like, Yo, Grace, all the Lannister men have thrown down their soldiers. What about the elephants? Grace, the elephants are not coming.
When Qyburn is like, she's like, no one's ever gotten to the Red Keep, or like the Red Keep has never fallen. And he's like, well, everything else has fallen. Also, they are in the Red
they're,
Keep.
They're in the Red Keep. Like, they're here. Want to go to Magor's Holdfast? I like that reference. No, she had no plan.
Which doesn't make sense for her.
But she's been dominating this war since season 7, right? The only loss that she's had was spoils of war. So they've been building her up. We've been seeing the memes. What if Cersei just ends up on the throne because she's the best at playing the game? Give her something.
Yeah.
You have a writer's room of people that have been working on the show for years. You can't think of something clever enough. You're in a fantasy world. Give us something. Have Euron whip out the dragon horn. At this point, right? At this point, I'm ready for anything. Bring out the Krakens.
If they didn't kill Rhaegal and they waited for that and it was Rhaegal versus Drogon, that could have been a little more even. Because we said it too, like, you're like, all right, she still has a dragon, but the way they took out Rhaegal last episode.
With heat-seeking missiles.
It's like, oh, you know, they have a bunch of these things. It's kind of even now. It wasn't even. But I still love...
That's why it's inconsistent.
I still love how they...
But it's inconsistent that they get three perfect shots on Rhaegal, and then they
can't
even...
Well, they were sitting there waiting. It's different than when you're in the middle of war,
but
and
also,
she's using the
but
sunlight.
That's also moving
blinded.
At an extremely fast pace.
I'm just saying... Okay. I'm not. I'm playing devil's advocate while still like trying to rationalize.
Keep your sanity.
Yeah. But no, it's.
If you go crazy right now, it's not justified. Hasn't been enough development.
Are you kidding me? Go back and listen to these fucking podcasts. It's
lucky. We'll go podcast by podcast.
Yeah.
It's a meme going around.
I think it's insane that it hasn't happened already. But let's see. What was I going with? Oh, yeah, just Cersei in general. Like, she did nothing this season. Absolutely nothing.
She looked good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the fits were...
She drank a little. She smirked. She was like, I got this. And
that
then
sex?
It's like narrator. She did not got it.
She did not get it. Got it? It was not.
That's the most disappointing thing. We talked about this on the review. I don't know if you agree or not. I don't hate how Jaime and Cersei were together when they died.
I hate it.
I just hate that Cersei had nothing to do with this season.
I think Cersei deserved a better death.
Cersei deserved to go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
And that she died in a blaze of glory.
literal blaze.
But it was, she went out on her own terms in a way that I'm going to go out swinging too.
But it was kind of like sad and like kind of.
Cool. I wasn't even sad for them. I was sad for myself again because
I was
like,
like,
these are two of my favorite characters.
I was
characters.
Sad for Jaime's character development. I literally, until the ceiling started collapsing, I was like, okay. I was waiting for his actual hand to disappear, and then he was going to, like, knife her or something. I kept waiting for it, and it never happened.
No, I think...
Just give her a mercy kill, almost?
Maybe. Like, in that moment, I would have like, even been fine with a mercy kill.
Watching, like, everything the Lannister and their family built deteriorate in front of them, and they're just together in that moment, I think that's... I don't hate that. I hate that Cersei had nothing to do this episode and this season, and I hate the lead-up with Jaime, what you're on. That kind of... That threw me off, too.
I wasn't expecting that fight, yeah. And as it was happening, I'm like, when is it going to end?
Yeah.
For a second, I thought Jaime was going to die there.
I would have fucking...
If that happened, I think I would have turned off the TV and stopped watching.
Euron fucking stinks, and they don't have to have that moment. He can die. I don't need to see... Like, he doesn't need to die for me. Like, I don't have to see it. Just get rid of him.
It's like how conveniently that he just, like, appeared on that shore.
That happens all the time, so I kind of give that a pass. But okay. The fact that it like was Euron, and it's like, oh, I fucked the queen. And you're like, oh, you son of a bitch. Let's fight.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to fight you now.
Yeah.
It should have been just Street Fighter.
I just wish Jaime would have just got to Cersei without having that moment. And then I think, like, with the Reigns of Castamere playing, like, they're together, but they're... Someone made this... I forgot who made this point. It's actually... I like it, though. It's...
Lindsay Ellis?
No. I think it was Kendrack, but the song of the Reigns of Castamere is about how they decimated an entire family because like they tried to go against the Lannisters, and that's kind of happening to them. Everything they built is deteriorating while that song is playing. It's a very nice moment, but everything leading up to it didn't feel deserved.
If they were going to end up dying together like that, why have Jaime go fight for the North and leave Cersei? So him leaving Cersei in season 7 felt definitive.
It should have been, too, man.
I thought if they were going to see each other again, he was going to kill her.
Especially after what he saw on the Long Night.
Yeah, and
that's
him and
horrifying.
Brienne, it's such a big deal that he was with a woman who wasn't Cersei.
Even now we look like clowns for saying, oh, he's on a mission.
Like,
and he just didn't want Brienne to stop him.
That scene felt like, to me at least, like him leaving Brienne. I thought what we said last week, that he was just like, didn't want Brienne to follow him and he was going to go kill Cersei. That scene didn't feel like him actually reverting to him loving Cersei again.
But
Or maybe he never stopped, but...
I think so. I mean, we've seen it throughout this character. It's the perspective that changed on Jaime, not his character himself. He's always been
this
guy.
That was a horrendous thing to do.
What?
To somebody that you quote-unquote love, for Cersei to betray the North.
Yeah.
It's one thing to betray them, but then maybe the threat's not as big as the North claimed. But people Jaime saw an army of hundreds of thousands of zombies.
But people act like Jaime wouldn't have thrown a kid out of a window in season 4 if they found him and Cersei, and the stakes are still the same. He would have.
Yeah, but that was different because Cersei at that point wasn't putting people's lives at risk, mm-hmm. blowing up churches. She was just kind of an asshole who was married to the king. And he had to make that decision to save her life. That was before she betrayed him numerous times, used him, manipulated him, treated him like garbage. And then you made the point that Jaime seeing the whites for the first time should be where,
I thought,
even though you think it was definitive him leaving Cersei, but that should just cement it.
Yeah, I think him seeing the whites should have been, I made the right decision coming here. Leaving Cersei was the right decision for me.
Well, I think
Well, they just throw out the Valonqar prophecy as well.
Yeah.
And that ties into Cersei not having a plan. Maybe if Cersei does have a plan, like your whole wildfire theory,
mm-hmm.
oh, she's going to do this again. I have no choice. I have to be the one to kill her. And George, that clip of George R. R. Martin going around of him saying that one out of 100 readers will guess the end, but now because of the internet, it spreads all around.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change it just because people are expecting it to happen.
No, I agree.
Look at Jon Snow coming back to life. That was one of the best moments of the show.
But in that once it was set up, like everything was going down and Daenerys was burning the city and there was nothing for Jaime to stop by killing Cersei, I kind of, like, if that was the plan, then them dying together in that moment, I don't hate. Valonqar would have been cool if it was a standoff where he had to do something to save, to stop maybe Daenerys from doing that. But if they were always going to do it, then it really doesn't fit. There's no reason to kill Cersei. And I don't hate, I honestly, even though we were wrong and I don't
what
love...
What do you hate?
A lot of things. I don't hate the fact that he kind of, that's always his character. Like hearing that, knowing that Daenerys is probably going to attack King's Landing, where your sister is, the only woman you've really loved with your unborn child. That's still, it's going to bring back a lot of things that you've thought you were over. But once you hear that,
yeah,
that's
but that's not
like
a breakup where it's like, you know, this isn't working out. This is like, you've betrayed me for the millionth time.
I know.
You're a psychopath.
That's his character.
Clearly a better person than you are.
In the show, that's always been his.
So then characters just don't change in the world of Game of Thrones.
I mean, their relationship was abusive emotionally, physically.
Yeah, even without her committing mass murder. It's a messed up relationship.
I thought him leaving her was him breaking out of that cycle, and
yes.
I thought
yeah.
he wouldn't go back. And if he did go back, it would be him killing her, and it would be like finally putting an end to it, and he could maybe, whatever, die with her or move on. It would have been putting an end to the mm-hmm. cycle, and instead he was like, I'm going to embrace the cycle with my whole heart.
And I like the idea of them both finding what they were looking in each other in different places, where mm-hmm. Cersei was always looking at Jaime for his power, his status as a man. She becomes queen. She doesn't really need that anymore. Jaime was always looking for to be looked upon as an honorable man, to be truly viewed as a knight, and he got that by going north, by fighting bravely, by being respected by somebody like Brienne, who's probably the most honorable character in the show. They both found what they were looking for in different people and different things, and the fact that they come back together like that, it does bother me. I don't like it. I don't like them dying by a bunch of bricks either. I don't know. I don't
bricks.
Understand why D&D. We have to wait for the books because
mm-hmm.
maybe the Valonqar prophecy just doesn't come true. But
they left it out of the show.
They left it out of the show deliberately. But it goes back to them saying, and I don't hate Arya killing the Night King because I don't think it's that big of a deal. But the fact that they're like, oh, we knew people would expect Jon Snow to do it. It probably should have been Jon Snow because they've shared.
I think it should have
they
been
made,
Jon Snow.
They created that problem when they created the Night King.
I guess. But still, the look that the Night King gives Jon Snow at Hardhome, thinking this is somebody, there's something there. There's a connection there. Is that really a problem? Because if Jon would have killed the Night King, then problem solved. Once again, I don't mind Arya killing the Night King because I think it was a great moment. But they have this tendency to do that, where it's if the fans are ahead of the show, then we're just going to change it. Like George says, you're foreshadowing these moments and then they don't happen. That it's not lazy writing. It's just...
Well, you never know how they wanted
ridiculous.
To. Ridiculous. Because they did not include the Valonqar, so maybe this is just the idea the whole time. It's something where...
Then why are you adapting the books then? Like, the source material's better than what you're doing.
There is no fucking books. D&D's made a lot of mistakes, and we've called them out for especially stuff in season 5. But George gets a pass.
He does get a pass. He does get a pass.
And it's mind-boggling. He's not. He doesn't know how to tie it up either. They're doing the best they can of what they got, and it hasn't been perfect. But, I mean, George...
People forget, too, how...
I love George. Big George guy.
Feast for Crows was received. People hate Feast for Crows.
Is that the most recent one?
No, that's the fourth book.
I like Feast.
There are 5, right?
I like Feast, too. Yeah, there are 5. But people don't like the last two as much because... they think that he just added too many subplots. And Feast for Crows, it's like 10 chapters of Brienne and Podrick like, hey, have you seen Sansa? You know where Sansa is? So they didn't love those books. People forget that because there's so much time between them. But yeah, no, he does get a pass. And if you're going to give them this source material, then maybe the books should have been done. Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, it's like seeing Jaime find his way back to Cersei seeing him and just like, having all that emotion like pour out of her, like seeing everything deteriorate, and she has Jaime there, and it's kind of like I don't love it, but I kind of empathize with that.
You know, I
those
kind
two
of
in that
agree
moment.
Because
yeah,
when
Stoneheart?
When they saw each other for the first time, I was like, this is kind of nice.
Yeah,
but also I hate it.
Yeah,
it's season 8.
Like she's crying, like she's seeing Jaime, like even though she's
partially because
like,
I
sent,
was like trauma.
She sent Bronn to. kill Jaime a couple episodes ago, but in that moment seeing what their life has become and having Jaime there in that moment, it's like when she probably thought she would never see him again.
Yeah,
that's I like that kind of those moments, but
it was like everything out of context of what it didn't make sense in the context of like everything that was happening, like isolated I can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But when I think about it in the show, I'm just like,
well, when
Jaime should have killed her.
When you add together that Euron scene and Cersei having nothing to do this season, having just getting decimated this episode, it kind of takes away from that moment where the moment itself I can really appreciate, but my main flaw is that Cersei drank wine and looked out of a window.
Literally the whole time. Or like off of like a patio. She was just like...
Like one of my main things, like all right, Night King's dead. Let's get Cersei. She has that moment where she orders Missandei to die. That's it.
And if this is the fate of the White Walkers in the book, I still don't hate episode 3. I don't. But my anticipation, like yours, was we're getting rid of the Night King. They have something great in store for Cersei Lannister. They didn't.
Well, I think... like
so I can understand why people will be even more frustrated with the Long Night, removing the character of the Night King, removing the White Walkers in general. And I still think there might be something to the prequel show that they held back a bit to establish that show, and if they did, I will be so pissed.
Yeah, like
that would be
I'd
ridiculous.
Rather be the way it was than have something come go do a prequel to explain it. But
even with the White Walkers, it still feels like, man, there was so much potential for that lore. What happened there?
Well, it's 7 episodes and 6 episodes for the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
And I do think
that's a major problem of the series, man. Looking back,
well, that's like when that happened, they killed the Night King. I'm like, all right. Let's get back to Cersei. We're gonna have it's gonna end smaller, more personal, and I guess we're getting that. But it's with Daenerys.
Did we mention this though, or is this before we recorded that Dan and Dave should have handed the reins off to somebody else? I think this is before we recorded, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think Dan and Dave. I made the point just before that it's obviously an exhausting show to make. Mm-hmm. It took 2 years to make 6 episodes. There have been reports saying that HBO wanted more seasons, that they were willing to throw more money at them. This should have been, at the very least, a 9-season show with 10 episodes in each season. You needed more time to develop these stories, whether it's the White Walkers, whether it's Daenerys, whether it's Cersei. You needed more time. And I always make the case, the actors still look good. And I think that if you keep throwing money at them, this show is only going to grow and grow and grow.
You could still have the same beats that we've seen the past 2 seasons, but with more in between them, I think it would have helped. Like, we still could have seen Mad Queen. We still could have had the Night King die. But if you have a few more episodes in between those happening and maybe just developing it a little more. I think Bran's going to go off.
Yeah, Bran is so disappointing. I was so into what Bran was going to do.
I love Bran the first two episodes
and,
of this season.
And I'm upset that he's not doing anything.
He's looking at Tyrion. Oh, did Tyrion betray this one? He's looking at Jaime. What's going on?
I think
on
he has
here?
Something up his sleeve for next episode.
We've been saying that since like season. This next episode, Bran's going to do something. Well, your theory is that in order to get Drogon out of the picture, he's going to warg into Drogon, right?
I don't think that's going to happen, though. That's something, that'd be like too cool. It's like,
why don't they give him anything cool to do?
He literally has, I was thinking, like
John versus Daenerys. It's like their first interaction is going to be, what is that going to be like? She's probably going to have them like swear fealty, and John's going to be like, no.
Imagine
John's.
But then it's like she has Drogon. We've seen what Drogon was able to do to a prepared army, and like, how do you beat Daenerys with Drogon at this moment? Even if you kill Daenerys, it's like Drogon's probably not going to be cool with that. It's like, so you need to take out Drogon somehow. And what way would that be? Jon's just going to fucking scream at it like he did with Viserion? That's the only thing that makes sense,
I guess.
Or
Drogon switches allegiances. Gary from SpongeBob.
Just it's a Chris Pratt moment sides. From Jurassic World.
He's like, whoa, big fella.
Well, yeah, you don't know how Drogon, like, Dragon's supposed to be, like, really, really smart. So he's probably like, Mom, what'd you make me do?
Well, he might be a psycho, too.
He's psycho's like, can I get a lozenge?
You get a cough drop, Ma. You know, it'd be funny if John was really submissive in this episode. Daenerys is like, "What's up, bitch? Bend the knee."
Quick question about John and Daenerys. So is John just like, is he weird about the fact that she's his aunt? They've never discussed it. Not about the fact that they are related.
Yeah, why isn't he hitting that?
They've only discussed that she doesn't like that he's technically the heir to the Iron Throne, understandably. But like. He's not like...
Still love you, but I don't like that.
They've never discussed the whole, like, we're related thing. So when he keeps, like, rejecting her, is it because they're related and he's like, I'm not about that?
He says that he loves her, too.
I think he knows, like, the state she's in that moment. And he's kind of like, let's take a step back here.
What about after the party that they were celebrating them all being alive? Maybe he's just got ED.
Well, no, that was his reflect. That was his. I think that aligns more with what you just said. Like they didn't he didn't really say like, oh, so you're my aunt. Like, how does this mean for us? But in that scene in episode 4, when they kind of break apart, it's like, oh, we got to talk about this. Like she alludes to like the elephant in the room. So I feel like the moment in episode 5 was more just, are you okay? Like, are you okay? You haven't been eating.
People I thought you were asking
you.
Me. I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
One, I've never really bought into Jon and Daenerys as a couple. I've never believed that they were actually in love with each other.
So
never supported it.
In season 7, we said that was a little...
It seemed like, oh, now they're together because the show is like they're together now. So
they're both like attractive, so it's like, why not?
When
I think
that's
their whole philosophy.
When she's like, am I only a queen to you or is that all I am? And then he kind of just like looks at her and then she's like, okay, fear it is then. I was like, what happened?
You're also my favorite aunt.
I'm assuming it's because of the aunt thing.
Yeah.
And also,
but they won't tell us. They like, do that a lot this season. They're just not telling us things.
There are conversations that we're like missing out on. And I feel like
we're getting the scenes that you're not supposed to see.
No, I don't mind. I
don't hate it.
No, I don't hate that scene. It's just like, I think we should have got more of Daenerys kind of spiraling. Not just a couple scenes before it happens, but Missandei dies and we have like 2 or 3 episodes where you actually see her progressively get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I did enjoy when she's looking out the window and she's all like drawn and pale. I like that. And then not much else.
I really love the scene where Daenerys looks like she's about to jump out the window. Besides that.
Also, I feel like Varys just going up to Jon and being like, hey, you want to be the king now? Was like a Ned season 1 moment.
Well, people were saying that he might have been trying to poison her with the little bird. Once that didn't work and she said that she was being watched, that he's like, all right, it's the only thing I can do to try to stop this is try to convince John. It's a last-ditch effort. I'm probably going to die for this, but I can't sit back and let
Was he,
happen.
Like, telling mad people about... He burned that one note when he heard them coming to his...
Oh, he was probably sending it all
But I was assuming... Yeah, I assumed he had sent a whole bunch of them before that.
Yeah, and I think he was up against the clock, too. That's why he just... shot a shot. He knew that Daenerys was going to burn down King's Landing within the next couple of days.
It's just like,
so
to
this
me
is
it
his
seemed
last ditch effort.
Like I mean, I guess, but it just didn't seem like a Varys thing for him to just go up to Jon and be like, say,
well,
hey.
I also think he knew he was dead. It was a combination of that this is my only shot.
I'm thinking of some random lord in the Riverlands receiving that raven. Who the fuck is Jon Snow? What the hell?
I don't understand.
Aegon Targaryen? Isn't he dead?
Yeah. Was he killed by the mountains?
What do we do? I guess we gotta go fight.
For who? Let's just stay home.
Yeah.
Red. Yeah, the thing is, too, it's like Jon's the Warden of the North at this point. Whose support does he need? He's got the Vale.
Sansa better have an episode next week.
She's going to be like, oh, I told you so.
The meme with Jonah Hill, and he's just like, so something really super not chill happened last night. Tyrion and Jon showing up in a Winterfell. But also, Jon has the Winterfell army, right? The ones who came
Northerners,
with him.
Yeah.
Like, who does Sansa have to defend the North right now?
Brienne.
They probably left like a small group there, but I don't think, after what happened, I don't think they're expecting anybody to, like, Theon try to come and take Winterfell. It's like,
I think Daenerys is, you know, if she's going to go crazy, she's going to be like, well, you know, your sister doesn't like me. Might as well go burn Winterfell, too.
Hey, you know what? You know who I miss? I miss your sister. Let's go see her.
And then Jon's going to be like,
okay.
Well, Arya, too. I mean, she was in the thick of things. She got that firsthand perspective.
Oh, and you know she hates Daenerys at this point.
Yeah. Davos, Jon.
Well, Davos,
Tyrion.
Yeah, like you said with Melisandre, she just did Melisandre times a million. So the speech that Davos might die.
But it's like even when Stannis did it in Melisandre, it's like they're trying to do this so they might win. Daenerys won already.
Yeah, right.
Just like, here we go.
They were delusional.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Their backs were against the wall. They had this one last ditch effort to try and win, and they burned a kid alive.
Yeah, it's not justifying it, but you can, like, in their, like, mental state and Stannis, what we've seen him just deteriorate as a person, and the way Melisandre has manipulated him over the years, it's like, okay, that's not a stretch.
Wow, Mad Stannis, better than Mad Queen.
And so I'm just like, what does Tyrion do? Like, is he like, hey, Daenerys?
Now, Marissa,
if I'm Tyrion, I'm like, once I see Daenerys, I'm like, yeah, I free Jaime. Kill me. I don't want to.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah, seriously. Should have just let them execute me in season 4. That's what it feels like. Oh, I don't know.
I'm still excited to see how it plays out, though, next episode.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm excited to see the interactions.
And I still like, kind of like, it's weird. I like some things, I hate some things. I don't know if it will.
I can say that I don't like this episode. I would go as far as say I don't want to be one of these, because there's so many YouTubers out there that are just making 30-minute videos of them screaming the entire time. And listen, you got to do what you got to do.
We're also kind of doing that right now.
Right. But for the whole season, we've done this on the channel all the time. We try to see the positives in everything. And, you know, even looking on my Twitter feed, I mostly talk about movies and shows that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. If I see something and I don't like it, I just don't talk about it.
Unless it's like that so bad where you're kind of like, I have to talk.
Well,
like Serenity, I'm like, I need to talk about it.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I have to say, truthfully, this is one of my least favorite episodes of the entire series, because this is such an important episode for the show overall that so many character arcs came to an end, and I'm never going to get this episode out of my mind when I watch the show now. It's every episode when I see a character that ended their arc in this episode, I'm going to think about how disappointed I was. And that's just, I guess, what it is now. I had the same problem with The Last Jedi. And I've kind of cooled on that, but I used to say I can't go back and watch the original Star Wars because I just hate what they did with Luke Skywalker. And I think what they did with Daenerys here was worse. Because I'm a big Daenerys guy, man. I love Daenerys.
But I've always, like, how I'm kind of able to maybe get past that is I've always had the idea of Mad Queen ever since people started theorizing. And I thought, oh, that could be a very interesting storyline, and we kind of didn't get the in-between as much as I would have liked to properly develop that, but it still happened, and I think her actions, even though they weren't really, you said they were hollow, right? Even if they were properly developed to the way that we would have liked, it still would have happened, I guess, the same way. So me looking forward to the next episode, I'm like, all right, that's happened. Like, she's Mad Queen. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's
we were going to get to this point anyway.
Yeah. And I still, like I said, don't like how it happened, but now that it has happened.
It still changes your perspective. Like when I say, when you go back and watch the episodes, you can watch those earlier Daenerys seasons, if this was properly developed, and think, oh, you know, I can see where the cracks, I can see the cracks in the armor. I can see the descent. But I'm never going to see it because it is what it is. It wasn't developed well enough.
Maybe a retrospective, when you rewatch it, you can maybe certain things.
Littlefinger.
But certain things that you might not have pointed to, maybe when you go back and know what's going to happen, you're like, oh, wait, maybe.
I feel like at a certain point we should have been like, yeah, she's going to do this. Not like everyone around her going, she's going to do this. Well, like, but we're still kind of.
Yeah, everybody just kept telling us it was going to happen rather than them showing us.
But even when Randall and Dickon, I'm pretty sure we said, like, eh, that was not a smart decision. Maybe it's a little.
But again, that's.
But it was also like, you can live if you just get on your knee.
Yeah. No,
like
no, no.
Her, like,
no,
with the slave owners, I feel like her killing the Tarleys was like a bad political move, maybe, but not so much moral. Like, it's war.
No, no, no. I get that too. But I, like, when that first happened and like, oh, maybe, I thought it might have been something where, like we explained before, back against the wall, last ditch effort, or just something being such a catalyst where it makes sense. Or it's just more, I guess, more develops.
But doesn't it feel like Cersei and Jaime aren't dead? It feels like they didn't even die.
As far as I'm concerned, Jaime will live forever.
It doesn't. When characters die in the show, you're mourning for them. Every major character death has been so emotional. Robb Stark, Ned Stark, Catelyn, Tywin, even. The main characters, when they die, it feels like Cersei and Jaime, we didn't even like give them a tribute on our review. Kind of just slipped our minds. Well, Lena Headey, Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, two of the best performances that the show has had to offer, we just kind of forgot about it because the
Daenerys
death was
thing
so anticlimactic.
Well, Daenerys overshadows everything.
It did, yeah.
That's like something where...
It was almost, we gave Conleth Hill a bigger tribute than Lena Headey.
I know.
Because it happened earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
But you hated... guess we'll go to this real quick. We've been talking about Daenerys so much. You hated the Clegane Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought the Clegane Bowl was a meme. And it was never going to happen. And then it did happen. And I was like, this kind of sucked. It wasn't emotionally satisfying, really, for me at least. It was just sad. Like, I was watching it and I was sad. Like, I felt bad for the Hound. I thought
that he's a sad individual.
The Hound is, like, tragic.
Yes.
He's just drunk all the time. He's super scared of fire. The PTSD is real. He and Arya have had this sort of, like, almost father-daughter type of relationship. And he's been looking out for her, like, I think it was episode 2 when he's like, I looked out for you, didn't I? Right? I think that's when he said
fought it. For you.
Yeah. And, like, the little moment they had when he tells her to go, even though I didn't agree that Arya should just leave like that. Him just... trying to kill the Mountain and not being able to do it. And the Mountain just pulling, like, he pulls the knife out of his chest, his head. It was, like, tragically funny. I felt so bad for the Hound. I was like, you deserve better than this.
It is kind of funny when you think of that. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, that's right in the eye.
I think he said that. He was like, I
he
literally got you in the head.
I like the Clegane Bowl. I thought it was awesome.
It's ridiculous, but I love it.
I like the end for the Hound.
Yeah. It's he was, like you were saying, like, Arya shouldn't be there. I would
agree with you in that the castle was crumbling. So yeah. I think the Hound thought Arya was going to get out of it.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think
initially
for Arya,
the castle was crumbling.
That was something she always, like, she wants to kill the queen, so... I get her going with the Hound and try to do that, but once it starts going to shit and the Hound's like, get out of here unless you want to die, look at me and all these things, I was kind of like, Hound, take your own advice.
Yeah, like, I wanted him to take his own advice. Yeah. I didn't want him to be ultimately defined by this tragedy he had suffered, and he was. And
it's a tragic end to the character. Sometimes that's just life. What was the Hound going to go do?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's what we always kept saying about Arya.
It might just be like this episode with so many people... Instead of breaking out of their cycles, just like...
They're just trapped.
They're trapped. And it was just like, again and again. And like with the Hound, I was like, I'm tired of this.
Yo, this is literally what Westworld Season 2 said about humanity. It's that they're stuck in loops. They can't break out of them. They're passengers and they're worthless. Game of Thrones is like, hold our Starbucks coffee cup. And we've got one on deck. Thank you to Starbucks.
You know what's funny? That wasn't even a Starbucks cup, and they just got fucking millions of free publicity from
billions,
that.
Billions, they say. Ooh. Shout out.
I like the Cable. That's when he killed Qyburn.
Yeah, I liked it too. Yeah. Qyburn's death was
funny.
And even too, when he's like,
"So, Gregor,
yeah,
obey your queen."
He kind of just like, "Oh wait, and he's not Frankenstein's monster. He has his, like, he still remembers." And it's like when season 7, when the Hound like gets in his grill and he's like, "Ah, you remember me, right?" And he's just like breathing at him. It's like, I never actually thought that Mountain still remembered any, like, I guess he had an idea, but like, he didn't have any like emotion towards past events. And I said on the review that I kind of liked that, though, the Mountain remembered, because it would have just been one-sided and
stupid.
If the Hound is trying to kill the zombie, yeah, where the zombie is like, "Who are you?"
Yeah, if they were going to fight and the Hound, like, the Mountain just didn't know who the Hound was, mm-hmm, that would have been even worse. Mm-hmm. Even though Cersei just like tiptoeing past him. That was funny.
Yeah.
She was like, "Excuse me." Interesting idea. Qyburn can resurrect people and they keep all their memories. The Night King can't. Science.
Qyburn is the Night King.
Qyburn is a better Night King than the Night King ever wished he could be.
Well, it took him like a fucking month to get Sir Gregor back.
Okay, well, yeah. Quantity, quality. Yeah, rest in peace, Sir Gregor, right? And Sandor.
Yeah.
I actually liked the fact that he sent her away. That's one of the things that I liked. I liked everything about Arya the Hound in this episode.
That moment itself, I liked. Arya, for the first time in a while, looked really young, looking up at him like that, which was nice.
See it in her eyes. She's a great actress.
Yeah,
man.
Maisie Williams is great.
Even her running around through the city was awesome.
I liked those scenes. Her rolling up to King's Landing like that made me think of when she took down House Frey. And of course, it's not nearly the same skill. Circumstances are different. But she had a plan for that. Like, she did it strategically. And I don't know if maybe things in King's Landing just deteriorated too quickly for her to actually get anything done. I don't know.
What do you think about Jon Snow in this episode and how he's going to react? And how he did react, him holding back his soldiers, him, that tension between him and Grey Worm in the middle of the battle. It felt like that's another thing that I hated about the Mad Queen. It was just a reason for Jon to betray her. Jon's looking around, it's Saving Private Ryan, everything's moving slow.
But when that's, their reactions I liked too, like when she decides to do it.
Tyrion had the best reaction.
And Tyrion's like, what?
Tyrion's.
And Jon's like, Davos is flabbergasted, Grey Worm is like, fuck it. This is what we're doing.
the
reactions were so great. And just them witnessing, being on the ground, having that perspective on the destruction Daenerys is bringing, that was all very well done. I really like that. So it's hard for me, like you said, to say this episode is bad, because there are things I don't like about it, but there's so much
good.
Yeah,
but you like the reactions to something that wasn't
set
rushed
up properly.
Yeah, but that's...
It's like, I don't know what to call it. Is it a paradox? Like, what supersedes
but
what?
I don't like the reactions because I don't feel they're earned. You can like the acting.
I think
they look
the
very
fact
surprised
that everyone in this episode acted so well.
Right, that's...
Is
it's,
what
yeah
sort of pulled it off.
They were so close to having this absolute 10 out of 10 best episode we've probably ever seen. But they just needed a couple more things to go right.
I disagree with that. I think they needed a lot of things to go right. I don't even think this is a season 8 problem. I think this is a show problem.
Well, what they needed to go right was Daenerys' turn and probably Cersei's and Jaime's moment.
Right,
but
Daenerys' turn is something that needed to be set up for years that I don't think it's been set up properly.
I think if it was a 10-episode season and that happened...
Oh, 10 episodes. I thought you said 10 out of 10 episode.
No, that's what I said.
Oh, okay.
It was if this was a 10-episode season...
Maybe, yeah.
This happened, the penultimate, but Missandei still happened in episode 4, and you had those episodes to kind of play that out more and just watch her slowly but surely devolve into madness, this episode would have hit a lot harder, especially for you and people who felt like it was a little sudden and empty.
Jon is boring.
That I disagree with. I love Jon Snow.
No, I like Jon. It's just... I don't know. I feel like very suddenly everyone's like, Jon is the one who's going to lead everyone. And it's like he doesn't want to. And will he? I don't know.
I think Jon Snow ends up on the throne.
I did like his reaction, though, to,
I mean, that's,
you know, the
kind
devastation
of obvious, though, right? You don't think Daenerys is going to win after that?
No. And I think Jon ends up, my prediction here, Jon ends up on the throne. He grants the North independence and Sansa's queen in the North. And they just become two separate kingdoms at this point. This works out better that way. Can try and build a peace. Maybe Jon is the one who tries to usher in a Dream of Spring. And this also sets up the possibility of them returning to Westeros 30 years from now with old man Jon Snow, something that we thought would never be possible because a lot of people thought Jon Snow was going to die, but maybe we'll see Westeros in 30 years, how they all react to what the fuck happened. If it's only an anthology, if it's like one season.
I don't know. That's wild.
Yeah, thinking about that, just Kit Harington coming back, like Luke Skywalker. He's in Braavos. They have to go and find him. I don't know. Yeah, but other theories, like we talked about Drogon, maybe Bran helps out in some way. You will fly. There are so many things now in the show that they... Jon and Daenerys' kid foreshadowed so much in season 7.
He literally said in season 7, it's like, I mean, how do you know that witch was telling the truth when she said you couldn't have children?
Jorah saying, keep the sword, give it to your children. Daenerys telling Tyrion, I can't have children.
Maybe she just can't have children.
Maybe they're just stressing that over and over.
They're trying to tell
again.
You that she's not pregnant.
Hello,
stop
idiots.
Thinking about that she's going to have a baby.
There's not going to be a baby.
What if she does? She just pulls a Cersei.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah. John's like, oh.
Oh, boy. Womp, 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 womp. This whole season. And I liked it up until this point, but man, this just puts a black cloud over the season for me.
The things I was giving the season like passes for earlier on, after this episode, I'm just like, it's bad. I was like, okay, I just need to wait for the season to like unfold more before I like have an actual judgment on how these things are playing out. And now they've mostly played out. And I'm like, not good.
I tweeted during the episode.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right?
I also check Twitter. I never check Twitter or like look at my phone during the episode. And around the Clegane Bowl, I was like, okay, let's see what people are saying about this.
I turn off my phone at the movie theater, dude. I never check my phone. I never check my watch. I tweeted twice during this episode. That's a bad sign.
No, I don't know. I still like this. We both said we liked episodes 1 through 4. And I'm very split on this one.
But this is important. This is an important episode.
I think, like, what I said when I liked The Long Night, got rid of the Night King. I don't give a fuck who he is. Let's focus on Cersei. But then she really had nothing to do after that.
Have they, like, fumbled a penultimate episode in a season like this before?
No.
I can't immediately think of anything, because normally the penultimate episode is the best one.
Beyond the Wall?
Oh, yeah. Beyond the Wall.
Yes.
I didn't like Beyond the Wall.
Looking back, man, I'll take some Beyond the Wall. Are you kidding me? I'll take a couple Beyond the Walls. In hindsight, Beyond the Wall is awesome. All right, so yeah, that wraps it up. Game of Thrones season 8.
Why are you acting like you hate the whole season now? You literally said in the last preview, it was like, you know what? I like this season.
Oh, I don't know if this is worth it. But you know, why didn't what happened to Harrenhal happen to the Red Keep?
Well,
there might be a reason for this that I just don't know.
Well, Tywin Lannister, take it from here.
I guess we'll see maybe after...
So my theory
is... The aftermath of it, maybe we'll see some like
preview,
melted
it looked
stones.
Like she was walking out of the castle. So obviously she didn't destroy
No, she
all
was obliterating buildings like they were nothing though. She wasn't burning these buildings. Maybe it has to do something
with the infrastructure.
I literally
looked up, can stone be broken down by fire? And they can't, but like it's possible with fire to collapse a stone wall. Like it is. In the show, they make such a big deal about Harrenhal not necessarily collapsing, but melting and cracking and turning into, like, a human oven.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Harrenhal is supposed to be, like, this state-of-the-art, like, absolute spectacle of a castle. And it was just cursed. And that's what happened. So they might have just done something differently in the foundation. I don't know. It's got to explain the builder.
Know. They were taking down the Red Keep, and I just kept thinking about Harrenhal. You have this one really established example of a castle being taken down by dragonfire.
Yeah. They're not thinking about these things anymore.
Can we shit on Euron some more?
Because
I fucking hate Euron.
What was the point of Euron?
He's the worst. It's like, book Euron? Why couldn't they just give me that? So he's like
that's a nitpick.
He's a character. Oh, no. We have a fucking whole-ass character that plays a huge part.
Well, they just made him a different character.
It's like they wanted to be like, oh, look how crazy and bad I am. I can do anything.
And then he ultimately did nothing.
Like, Euron in the books, it's like, he doesn't have to say anything. Just the way people perceive him and the thoughts people have about him and how they approach him, you're like, oh, this guy will fuck you up with his eye patch.
Somebody tweeted, it was like, Euron Greyjoy died as he lived, making everyone go, ah, this fucking guy again.
And the actor's mad cool. You ever see him on Instagram? He's pretty, like...
Yeah, he loves the show.
And I still think it's, like, weird how much he really looks like Theon.
It is weird, right? Yeah, that
was like, they look casting, so much actually. Alike.
He should have been Baylor.
I think if he had an eye patch, I'd have been like, you know what? Not bad.
No, it's just a completely different character. He was there to serve the purpose of giving Cersei Lannister an ally.
But he could have been a better character.
He could have done more. Cersei could have done more.
They shouldn't have made him
goofy. Euron and Jaime's fight.
If they just made him serious.
But I remember like when we first saw, got reintroduced to
him. What about the Golden Company?
Hold on. When we first got reintroduced to Euron in season 7 after the 6 and he won the King's Smoot by talking about Theon's dick. But when he came back in the King's Landing, he had like that fresh outfit on. I was like,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, he just got back from H&M.
It's like, yeah, okay. I could see this Euron, but it just didn't get like... Didn't get any better, I guess, from that first reintroduction to him. Yeah, Golden Company got smoked, but I still like that.
Somebody tweeted, Samwell Tarly killed more people than the Golden Company.
Yeah. But I do like Drogon absolutely demolishing them. It's like, yeah, that's what should happen when you have a dragon. We've been waiting to see this for all these years, and Daenerys was hesitant to do it.
That's another thing. It's like, why have them?
They could have been any.
I guess
like what you can do versus what you're willing to do. Same thing, like, in the real world with, like...
No, but I meant, like, why even introduce them, but...
Like, you have...
It makes us believe that Cersei does have a chance here.
Yeah. Oh, the Golden Company.
Should have got some elephants.
I thought you were talking about the dragon. Yeah, they got fucked up. I was going into this whole philosophical...
You can do.
Diatribe about what the dragons represent. And
there's a great Nerdwriter video where he talks about why hasn't society progressed in Westeros, and it has to do with the dragons and how they've just fundamentally changed warfare. So society doesn't move forward because of the dragons. It's interesting. I'll put a link in the description to not that, to something else, to one of our videos.
So Lindsay Ellis, Nerdwriter. Anybody else?
You know, I've been listening. I love Radiolab. Did a great episode on loops the other day.
I hate Euron.
I'll tell you what, I'm taking a break from Twitter after this season for like 2 months. I've heard too many opinions. I'm opinionated out, man. There's too much going back and forth about this, and they love it.
No,
they
it's
hate
fun.
It.
And but it's just it's a lot.
It's become too much.
I miss just tweeting like jokes about like the Oscars and Amy Adams not having one.
Yeah,
times are simpler then.
All right, yeah. So let's wrap this up, guys. Nerd Soup. Podcast episode 5, The Bells. Great title. I do love the title. Leave your thoughts in the comments below. I don't even have to say that because you guys are going to do it anyway. But that's the first thing people do nowadays, just comment. We get like 23 comments before the video's been out for 5 minutes. It's amazing.
21 of them are first.
First, yeah. 21 firsts. So yeah, follow us on whatever. just come back next week. We'll be here for the series finale of Game of Thrones. I'm trying to get excited about it.
What's that?
It's a Family Guy. When Stewie's kissing Stewie.
What a tie-in.
Such a weird reference.